right, you primitive screwheads. Listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus. One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me what I thought he was, woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyway.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look. You've got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one cracking day, for Cylons to bring us down impossible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
We're the stars of this piece of shit!
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't...
Oh, fucking take all you want. I got a Spider-Man t-shirt. I got Converse that are running off my feet.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, hello.
Wow.
You know, it's the pre-production meetings, really. That's where the nuggets of goodness are.
That's the magic.
You know, the hours and hours that the three of us put into producing this show for you each and every week should not be discounted. I'm just saying.
Yeah, because they're already free?
No, I mean that, you know, we should be, you know, admired for the hours that we're putting into
this. You could discount it down to the seconds and seconds, is what I'm thinking. But
hours and hours.
Hours and hours.
That's all I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hours and hours that we've put into these
statistically speaking
300 episodes.
One of the people in this room is absolutely full of shit right now.
That's statistics.
That's how that works.
Statistics
that
don't lie.
Yeah. No, I even though I failed the class in college, they don't lie, or so I was told.
What is the approval rating on statistics?
Sure. I don't know.
Well, this is one thing we do know. This is Big Kev's Geek Stuff. Episode 345, and we're calling it Countdown to New York Comic Con, T-minus 3 weeks and counting.
That's a lot of verbiage that I'm telling you right now, I will not remember at the beginning of segment two.
You have to remember one thing, the title of this program.
I'm not going
to
do it. I'm letting you know right now, I'm not going
to
do it.
All you have to do is remember that.
A little bit more than that, but I'm not going to remember the title of this particular episode. I'm just letting
and
you know.
Neither will anyone else.
There you go. Episode 345, unmemorable. That's what we're calling this episode.
Unremarkable in any way. No! Countdown to New York Comic Con, T-minus 3 weeks and counting.
You've added too many words.
That's not too many
words. So news.
Words.
Yeah. News. Segway. How about those things?
Well, lots went on in the news this week, sort of. Let's play a little of follow up to last week. I think very quickly last week you were like, maybe we'll say something about the Apple announcement. So now's your chance to maybe say something.
Apple made an announcement.
Yes, new phones.
Yes, the 6 and the 6 Husky.
Right.
Skyline, but okay.
The plus size.
If you're not going to jump in there,
I think
sir,
it's a shitty name. I just think the names are shitty.
The 6 plus?
6 plus. Fucking really?
Of course.
It makes the other one sound not as good.
Yes,
the plus
it's the
makes
six
it
minus
husky size.
It does.
It's ridiculous. Do you get these at a Big and Tall store?
You do.
Well, the husky size of the phone probably a little ridiculous.
Well, you need Big and Tall pockets in order to.
They should. It just should be the new iPhone or iPhone Air. It's cleaner.
And the exciting.
How about iPhone 6 large?
No.
Well, because no. In all seriousness, then what would you name it? Because you have the six.
I just told you
the top model actually costs six
the
large.
Six Air?
Just
so.
iPhone Air.
Okay.
It comes in two sizes.
There you
That's
go.
It doesn't need a name.
All right.
Do you have the smaller one or the bigger one?
And the excitement-inducing Apple Watch. That's what it's called.
Yep.
Apple Watch.
Yep.
Apple Watch. Couldn't come up with the iChromograph. Did nothing.
Really?
Apple Watch.
No.
It's a change in branding. I don't have a problem with that name.
Yeah.
Apple Watch.
That makes perfect sense to me.
Apple Watch.
I just don't see the big deal. Like, I don't understand
Apple
the
Watch
whole...
sounds like a rumor site.
It kind of
does.
It does.
Welcome to Apple.
But
Watch.
I don't understand any of the smartwatches. Like as a general thing, smartwatches to me are stupid.
Yeah.
Like you have to have your phone, or maybe you don't have to have your phone, but you can do the same shit that you would kind of do on your phone, but not quite as much. Who fucking cares? You have your phone. What do you need it for?
Well, they want the idea is to break barriers. You know, you have to
the idea is to not have to take the phone out of your pocket because it's too fucking big and it gets stuck.
That's it.
That's it. That's it.
If you got the skinny jeans.
That's it.
Weren't they saying that? Weren't they saying hipsters are gonna have problems with the new phones? Because they're large.
So other than the fact that Apple is pro plus size models. And anti-hipster. Uh-huh. Was there anything else that came out of the announcement that is significant
that
we should discuss
about?
Yeah,
you now own a copy of a U2 album, whether you like it or not.
A lot of people had problems with that.
Yeah, so there's actually a tool to remove it.
Yeah, so a lot of people had problems with it. A lot of people didn't understand the ire. I understand. I do understand it. A lot of people were like, well, you choose to auto-download, but not necessarily. Like, for example, I used Amazon Prime as my Prime Music. I have it set for auto-download, too. But it auto-downloads stuff that I have previously selected. And then when I hit, for example, I hit a Wi-Fi spot, it auto-downloads
it.
So this is not that, in that you kind of got the content. The one thing I was confused on is, did it take up space or no?
It depends if you had automatic downloads.
Okay, because people were saying, well, they couldn't upgrade the OS because now the album was on their phone and they ran out of space.
So delete the album.
Right, except that, but there were a couple people who deleted the album and then it re-downloaded like the next morning.
No, it didn't.
I read
that
the
didn't
article.
Happen.
That was rumor.
Haters, dude. Okay. You should really know about haters.
No, I know about. That's why I'm asking you, because I didn't understand the logistics behind it.
Yeah. So,
okay.
So now you can remove it entirely from your purchases if you want to.
Statistically,
okay, so
two of us in this room know what horseshit that is.
Okay.
Statistically.
Sure. Right, should we move on then? Past
yeah,
the Apple?
Yeah.
Destiny.
Sure.
Do you want to follow
Apple,
up on that?
Apple Pay is pretty cool, though. I will say.
Apple Pay is pretty cool.
Yeah, that is.
And it's really smart because by the end of 2015, everyone's going to have chip and PIN, which means a bunch of retailers are updating their POS systems.
Right.
And this comes out at the same time for Apple to say, hey, update your POS system to support our POS system. And it's kind of all working out. So it's
that is
going to
be pretty amazing.
It's a smart move and it's kind of cool. And it'll make your McDonald's drive through experience way easier.
So what, you just swipe your phone now?
You don't swipe anything, you just tap. So you use the fingerprint sensor for security, and you just place it against something, and boom, you pay for shit.
So it's kind of like the credit cards that are chipped now, where you just tap them on the reader as opposed to swiping.
Except
them.
They
There's
are
no
always with you. There's no card.
Right.
Apple doesn't store the card information or anything like that, and it's probably more secure than using a card in the first place.
Okay.
But yes, same idea.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
It's pretty cool.
However, as awesome as Apple Pay is, Destiny is much more awesome.
Yeah, so give us the follow-up. You've had more time to play.
So Scapegoat and I have been cooperative playing for the most part, in so much as Scapegoat is a cooperative player.
And do we like it or do we not like it?
Love it. Love it. Having a great time.
You seem less enthused than Big Cat.
He's upset about my comments.
No, it is an awesome game.
Okay.
It is a lot of fun. If you have friends, or if you have an online group of friends or a clan or whatever it is that you do, get it. Play with those people.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. The gameplay is really sharp and tight. Really a lot of fun. And you know, the public events where sometimes you get match made, I guess, matched up with other people and you're fighting with them. Also, really awesome gameplay, perfect.
Looking
great.
For group.
But I'll say right now, this was a huge thing in the gaming world. My bias is I like Bungie games. I'm a fan of the Halo universe as well. And there, it is so clear to me that Bungie knows the story of everything going on in the game. The Traveler, the giant orb, they know the backstory. They know what's going on. Now, Peter Dinklage voice acting is as bad as everyone thinks it is.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I've heard that it's terrible.
It is fucking terrible. There's no exaggeration. Awful. On top of that, my problem is that Bungie, either for strategic reasons, because they want you to be invested in the gameplay and they want to get everybody, not just fans of stories and RPGs, or if because they're going to add this later, I don't know, but they do not tell you the story. Basically, the game starts, spoiler, it happens in the first 30 seconds, I'm not joking. They give you a little backstory of the game, and then a little ghost, which is the last thing that the Traveler, the big white orb that protects the last remaining city on Earth, did before going silent, was create ghosts, which are little companion AIs. Yours is played by Peter Dinklage, and it flies by, and there's a bunch of skeletons, and you get reconstituted from a skeleton, brought back to life, and they say, you are a guardian, you have been chosen. I am pretty far into the game. I still don't know why I've been chosen. Is all of humanity extinct and we're extinct and we've all been revived from these dead corpses that the ghosts have deemed worthy? Are we just people who chase crystals? I have no fucking idea why I'm alive. I don't know what I'm doing. And every mission is there's like a fantasy name for the place and stuff is happening and they don't have time to explain it to you. There's actually a point in the game where they say that I don't have time to explain to you why I don't have time to explain to you what's going on. And I'm just like, what the fuck is this shit? Please explain. The missions are fun. The enemies are fun to fight. I enjoy it. Again, really, really fun game. Then not taking it. But apparently most of the story is done through these things called grimoire cards, which are things that you acquire and you can read. And there's the lore. That's not acceptable to me. Give me a 30-second skippable cutscene. It's one line of dialogue.
Oh, is that what those cards are?
Yeah.
Oh.
There's one line of dialogue per mission. And it pretty much ends up being, stand there while I unlock this thing and kill everything and survive.
Yeah, that was actually better acted than Peter Dinklage.
It is well done, but they're clearly using lexicon and words and fantasy sounding words because I know Bungie. They wrote this all out. Right. So why are you not showing it to me? Are you waiting for me to buy the comic book tie-in series? Are you waiting for your fucking live action movie deal to come out? Because they put this is a 10-year universe that we're going to be exploring and have all kinds of appropriate, as they said, tie-ins and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, the gameplay is fun. I think they really nail that. I think, you know, people are going to want to be on board, but there needs to be more variety of stuff. It hints at being so much bigger and better than what it is, and it isn't. And my biggest problem is I still don't know what I'm doing. I'm having fun doing it. I'm having fun playing with friends. It's, I mean, I know a lot of people who are playing it are showing clips of their, you know, highlights in Crucible, which is the competitive multiplayer,
right.
And their missions. And everyone's having a great time with this game. So if you enjoy it, please enjoy it. My problem is, seriously, what the fuck is going on? You built a great universe that feels like it's lived in and feels like it has a great history, and you are choosing to tell me nothing. And that really pisses me off.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid. I mean, they have to know that most people are not going to take the time to read those cards.
Right.
That's some old school like game shit. Yeah. Like modern gamers don't have the patience for that.
So what that does, the fact that they wrote those cards.
Turn to page 54 exactly. In the accompanying book. Yeah.
It what it tells you is that they did think this through and everything does have a history. So why are you not telling me? A 30-second skippable cutscene is not that hard. It's not that hard. I don't get it.
Yeah,
I don't get what the point is.
It seems like maybe they rushed or ran out of resources or something.
With their half a billion dollar budget.
We know there's going to be more and more expansions. We know there's going to be sequels. So I expect the universe to open up and new planets to become available. Right. And I think it's something that I'm going to play and continue to enjoy for a while. It's just my criticism is we need more stuff to do. A variety of things. And we need you to tell me the story because I want to like it, but I don't know what's going on.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Moving forward then, or
sure.
Do you want to chime in? It seemed like you had some.
I like the game.
Points. No, all right.
I like the game. I have fun playing with Scapegoat Online.
We got our official synopsis for Avengers: Age of Ultron.
Official.
This week. Official. I'm just gonna read this really quick.
Official is Latina review, right?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's anything in here that's too significant, but people were pretty excited to see that this was released. Marvel Studios presents Avengers Age of Ultron, the epic follow-up to the biggest superhero movie of all time. When Tony Stark tries to jumpstart a dormant peacekeeping program, things go awry. And Earth's mightiest heroes, including Iron Man, Captain America, Thor, the Incredible Hulk, Black Widow, and Hawkeye, are put to the ultimate test as the fate of the planet hangs in the balance. As the villainous Ultron emerges, it is up to the Avengers to stop him from enacting his terrible plans. And soon, uneasy alliances and unexpected action pave the way for an epic and unique global adventure.
Things go what?
Yeah, I was going to say. Things go...
Ari?
Ari? Yeah.
They don't go awry? They go Ari. Yeah,
that's how I say it.
That's not how you say it.
That's how I say it. I pronounce it the way I want. Yeah.
Ari.
Uh-huh.
Did you just learn something in life?
Frederick Frankenstein?
It is. Frankenstein.
Wow.
So there it is.
Have you had any Epiphones lately?
I have not. No.
Okay.
So there you go. I don't think other than my mispronunciation of a word, I don't think there's anything too crazy
there's
in that.
Nothing in there that's new.
That's new. So there you go.
Seriously, they ended with that.
Yeah.
An unlikely adventure throughout the.
Dun, okay. Yeah.
But more stuff from the Marvel Universe very quickly. New York Comic Con is going to have a Daredevil and a S.H.I.E.L.D. panel.
Yeah, I heard that.
Cool. So are they going to show the episode?
Of Daredevil? No. I doubt it.
Daredevil's a year away.
I think it's still quite some time
that
away.
Sucks.
In an interview,
next fall, isn't it?
I don't know.
I think so, yeah.
I think it's either fall or summer.
I don't think it's summer.
I think it's Netflix, fall. Oh. It could be.
Oh, speaking of things that are not related to the topic.
Yes.
Go for it.
You're going Ori.
Yeah.
Arkham.
I'm going a little Ori. The Arkham game, I just forgot what it's called. Arkham City. No, that's two. Origins is three. Knight.
Arkham Knight.
The pre-order went out, and it was the Batmobile, and it is sold out everywhere.
There were two.
There is a statue of Batman, which I just pre-ordered.
Which is terrible.
And the Batmobile went on sale and sold out immediately. So
gone.
I pre-ordered the statue of Batman because it's easier to upgrade to the Batmobile if you already have that collector's edition. I probably won't get it if I can't get the Batmobile.
Right.
But it came out of nowhere with what I thought was no announcement, and 2 days later was sold out. And I'm a little pissed. So if anyone has a pre-order for the Batmobile version,
pretty,
I will take it from you.
Please. It was all over the interwebs when the pre-order went up.
Honestly,
I saw it all over Twitter at least that day. So
I think the statue looks like shit, by the way. Did you see it?
I did not.
No.
I saw the Batmobile.
They have a prelim of it up. I think it looks like crap.
No,
the Batmobile is amazing.
The Batmobile looks awesome. And I actually saw a picture of the life-size Batmobile because they made a life-size version of it.
Yes.
It looks fucking, I think it looks better than these. I don't know if this is in the news. I think it looks better than the Zack Snyder.
Well, I wasn't going to go there next, but we can go there.
Yeah.
Why does the fucking Batmobile need to be a military vehicle? I'm sorry. I don't understand it. Even in the modernization of this universe, why does it have to be a military vehicle?
In which one? Are you saying that
the new one?
The Nolan one?
No, the Nolan one, too.
The Nolan one makes sense.
I guess.
It absolutely makes more sense because
of how it came about.
Yeah.
The research, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But the new one, I mean, it's got like...
Yeah, gun on it.
It's got like turret guns and shit on the front. It's a fucking tank.
Well, how do you take down Superman?
With kryptonite, unless it's shooting kryptonite bullets.
They've all had guns. Why are we shocked at the guns? They've all had guns.
It's not that it has guns. It's the type of guns and how it looks. Did you see the picture of it?
What are the type of guns? Like, are they machine guns?
It's a giant turret on the back. Like a tank would have. As opposed to something that comes out on the side and goes.
Dark Knight Returns? Like that Batmobile?
From the book?
Yeah.
I don't recall. Did that have a giant tank turret on the top?
Kinda.
Okay, I don't recall.
Okay. Well, I wonder where they got the information from. That's what I'm saying.
But my criticism would be, I still don't, even in the comic book then, I don't understand why the Batmobile has to be a tank.
Because if he's, I don't understand why you don't understand that. That's what I'm confused about.
It's military surplus from Wayne Enterprises.
Okay. I like the sleek Batmobile.
I know, but those days
are past. Why would you drive a Cadillac into a battle?
Because the Batmobile was more about getting to and from, escaping. It was more of a, Batman's supposed to be stealthy. It's hard to be stealthy driving around in a fucking tank.
Yeah, it's hard to be stealthy when your enemy has X-ray vision. I don't understand. Like in this instance, and we don't know what's happening yet. I mean,
right.
We know what's happening, but we don't know what's happening yet. Why the fuck would he be driving?
So if the explanation is that he developed this version of the Batmobile specifically to battle Superman, then maybe I'll give you some.
Would you say that the Nolan version was stealthy or not stealthy?
Not stealthy.
Okay. Because there's an entire scene devoted to the fact that it is stealthy. It runs silent. He shuts all the lights off and they lose it and he's riding right
next
to them.
It's huge though. It's disgustingly huge. I'm not saying that they don't.
So you
they
prefer,
don't write out an
you
explanation
prefer the
for
animated
you.
Series rib giant Cadillac thing with a fin on the back.
Not just the animated series, but
you know what I'm. Yes,
but,
yeah,
but the game version.
Honestly,
look at the game version, right?
Which game version?
The new one is not a fucking tank.
Yes, it is.
It's
absolutely
not.
A tank.
No,
it's. It's
not.
Made to be an indestructible giant vehicle that crashes through buildings and has a turret on it. It is absolutely a tank.
I don't know. I don't understand.
I like the one.
Why it has to look like this huge. military
vehicle. I like the gray one from the 30s or 40s, like the first version of the Batmobile. That's my favorite one still. I think I still have a toy of that somewhere at home.
Either way, Snyder released an official image of the Batmobile.
In fairness, his version of it looks way better than the crappy leaked photos.
I mean, as a way of saying, look, if you're going to look at it and comment on it, here's what it actually looks like. And that's exactly what he said. Yeah.
Which I respect him.
I respect him for that.
A little passive aggressive, but I'd get being pissed. I mean, leaks suck.
I don't understand why. I don't know. I like a sleeker version of the Batmobile personally. That's all. That's my opinion.
Okay.
What did you guys think of it? Did you like the design that Snyder put out? It makes sense for the movie, I guess.
It's a combination of the Burton and the Nolan designs.
Okay.
I mean, that's what it is.
That's pretty much everything he's done.
Yeah.
Is it really a combination of the Burton design? I don't see much of the Burton design in there. Okay.
Look again at the Burton one. Look at the early Burton ones, not the Burton ones.
Not where it ended up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not the bat nipples and neon.
Let's go back to Let's go back to Marvel real quick. What did I want to say? Oh, Anthony and Joe Russo, who directed the two gentlemen who directed Cap 2 and who will be directing Cap 3, in an interview this week, said something kind of off the cuff that led everybody to make a lot of speculation about.
Uh-huh.
Do you know where I'm going with this?
Is this about that Cap 3 is going to change the Marvel Universe more than Avengers?
No, it's about that the Punisher had an unofficial cameo in Cap 2.
Did you know Punisher did?
So I guess there are two scenes in Cap 2.
Well, Crossbones definitely did.
Yes. The yellow Penske truck, when Nick Fury is being attacked in the streets, he gets the moment he needs to escape when a yellow Penske truck, it is Penske, right? I'm not pronouncing it wrong, slams into his attackers.
No, nothing's gone.
Later, when Agent Sitwell is thrown into traffic, guess what hits him? It's the same Penske truck that hits him. The man who drives that truck, Joe Russo says, is very highly trained. He thinks on his own terms. He's got a plan and a very specific skill set. Now, earlier this year, the Punisher rights did revert back to Marvel. So a lot of people immediately speculated that it was the Punisher that was driving the truck. You know, the Punisher plays a pretty significant role in what eventually leads to the death of Captain America, insofar as he fucking shoots him. So there's that.
The Punisher doesn't shoot him.
Yeah, what's her name? What's her name kind of confuses the Punisher, and Punisher caps him, doesn't he?
No. What's her name shot him? Sharon Carter shoot. Not Sharon.
I thought Punisher shot him. Or am I mixing the Ultimate Universe again?
I think you might be mixing the Ultimate Universe.
Anyway.
What's her name? I want to say it's Sharon Carter, but that's not right.
It is Sharon Carter. It's Peggy girlfriend. Carter's daughter.
Yes.
Okay. Agent 13, whatever she's referred to.
She's the one that shoots him.
I didn't think she was the one that shot him. I thought it was actually Castle that shot him. I could be wrong. But either way, Punisher plays a pretty significant role in the future of Captain America.
Okay.
There's been other rumors that he might be coming back.
What I heard this week was that Cap 3 will change the Marvel Universe more than any Avengers film, which I was like, that's pretty heavy-handed.
That's pretty significant.
Well, Cap 2 did.
It did.
No doubt that it did. But the fact that they're leaning on the Cap movies to do this and not the Avengers movies, I think is interesting.
I think because the Avengers movies are the tie-in factor. They're the overall story. But I think Cap
is closer to everything else happening on Earth and stuff.
Yeah, and it should be
Cap and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. based on that logic.
I think it was because Cap 2 changed the entire Marvel Universe. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. immediately picked up with it
and ran with it and got way better.
And became Coulson and Friends. Coulson and Friends. Way better.
Still my favorite joke.
And S.H.I.E.L.D., by the way, coming back next week, I think. Next Monday.
I think it returns.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah, everything
is it up against Gotham?
Gotham is...
Monday.
Oh, it's also next Monday, yes. It is up against
Gotham. Oh, I can finally watch that.
Now I'm going to be bothered about the Punisher thing. For some reason, I thought he shot Cap.
I don't think so. I mean, Scapegoat, you want to look that up?
I could take a look.
Someone's going to crucify... Agent Smith will crucify me in a couple weeks because I've fucked up again, but it happens.
And if you're no longer listening to this at work, I apologize.
That guy called and left a voicemail.
Yeah.
He's one of the voicemails. We'll get to it when we get to his voicemail.
Oh. That's not one that we heard?
We did.
Oh.
But he just didn't mention it in the voicemail.
Oh.
Marvel's Agent Carter cast James Darcy as Edwin Jarvis for the upcoming TV series. So Edwin Jarvis is the predecessor to... It was Howard Stark's
butler.
Was it his butler?
I that's the direction they're going here, it sounds like.
So and then, of course, that's where Tony gets the idea to name the computer right. system Jarvis, which eventually becomes Vision. But anyway, so that, they're laying all of that groundwork and introducing right. those characters and fleshing that out. I'm actually looking forward to the Agent Carter
series. Me too.
That's kind of the mid-season, right? For mm-hmm. S.H.I.E.L.D., S.H.I.E.L.D. will go on break. Carter yep. will come in for a short mid-season.
Yep.
That's how that's working.
I believe that's how that's rolling, yes. But they're in the season premiere.
Yes, they are in the season premiere.
All of them. Dum-Dum Duggan and yep. the other guy, that's the Asian guy.
The Asian, yeah. Let's, since we're talking about Marvel-related stuff, Tom Hiddleston was just cast.
Oh, yes.
In Skull Island.
Yeah, this is good news.
Is it good news?
I think so, because...
I mean, I like Tom Hiddleston, so...
You have a lot of fan base behind Tom Hiddleston, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely a huge draw.
The ladies yes, certainly the ladies. Like Tom Hiddleston.
Yes.
And if they have to go endure a King Kong movie to see some Tom Hiddleston...
They will do it?
I think they'll do it.
All right.
That's what I think.
In the further Jesus Christ.
Wow.
In the further fragmentation
today.
In the further fragmentation of the DC television universe.
Oh and boy. Cinematic universe, oh boy. Warner Brothers is just fucked.
Lucifer is heading to Fox, uh-huh. it looks like. And Teen Titans live action series is heading to TNT.
Nice.
Just keep you know,
yep. Spread them all around. Them
anybody who will pick up on it and run.
Is Lucifer in the same universe as Constantine?
Not if it's on Fox. He should be, because in the books he is.
Uh-huh.
But not if he's on Fox.
Punisher did not kill Captain America.
Because Constantine is on NBC.
Who did?
It happened once, apparently, in a one-shot in the middle of 1995.
No, that's not what I'm thinking of. When did Winter Soldier take over? It wasn't 95, was it?
Winter Soldier didn't take over because he was dead.
I thought it was because Steve Rogers had died. Isn't that when Winter Soldier took over?
I don't think so, no.
Okay.
The death of Captain America is in 1990. Yeah, it's in the mid-90s is about right. And that was, what's her name, wasn't it? Does it say?
Mm-hmm.
No? Okay.
Garth Ennis.
Yes. He was the writer. Did he kill Captain America?
Yes.
Wrote himself yes, in did. The book?
Yep.
Suddenly, this strange man named Garth Ennis showed up with a gun and shot Cap in the chest.
Either way, so Lucifer and Constantine will not be in the same universe, and Teen Titans is potentially going to...
And Warner Brothers officially shoots itself in the face.
And of course, the interesting part of that is that the Teen Titans, Nightwing, so...
Yeah, go ahead, explain that one, Warner Brothers.
That's going to further... remove him from being available potentially elsewhere. He won't be in Arrow now. I guess he wouldn't be in Gotham anyway until like season blah 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 at this point, because he'd have to be, you know, he's still in the womb. In theory, he's not even a notion when Gotham takes place. But
right.
But, so there's that. Captain Boomerang has been cast in Arrow for season 3. You know what
Arrow?
Yeah, for Arrow. The new 52 version of Captain Boomerang is not terrible.
He's the son, right? Isn't the one in the new 52 the son of the weirdo Boomerang
yeah,
from the
I 70s, think so.
Right?
Yeah, yeah, I think so. And you know what? He's another reality-based villain. He doesn't have superpowers. He's kind of like an Australian mercenary. And he's the bullseye.
Wait a minute. Just to be clear, he's an Australian mercenary? Didn't we do that plot line already?
On Arrow? Did we do that already?
Oh, seriously?
Yeah. Well, yes, I guess. Sort
They'll
of.
Be related. They'll be cousins.
To slave
well, doesn't
somehow.
He have a partner? They could make him his partner.
They could.
I'm not joking.
He had a partner on the island.
Yeah,
it could be all him. I have, maybe all I have is me boomerangs.
But I don't know. I'm looking forward to Arrow. Arrow comes
skills.
Back. Arrow comes back October 8th, so we're still about a month away from that.
All right.
One last thing I wanted to bring up. The first image of... Charlton Copley and Susan Hayward in their role as Dina Pilgrim and Christian, I forget the character, from The Powers, hit the interwebs.
Oh, really?
And Copley is far too small, in my opinion.
Yep.
Far too small.
But they're all too small.
And
you know, John Hamm playing it.
And the girl playing Dina is
Black.
Yeah, but that aside, I, some people have said that. That aside,
that she's black. Because, she's clearly black.
No, no, that's clearly a change
right.
from the character. But Dina Pilgrim is kind of like, I don't know, the character to me, at least when she started, it was a bit more, kind of rougher around the edges, a little punky, kind of sort of. This kind of looks like the newest CSI spinoff, or
it does.
You know, it's just too clean looking.
Well, hold on. There's a bit of interest here for Scapegoat.
What's that?
Hannibal director David Slade will do the first two episodes.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, okay, I don't know if you knew that or not. I caught that bit just reading it.
I'm excited for Hannibal.
When is that? Spring? That's not fall, right? That's a spring show, isn't it?
Yeah. Mid-season.
Along with Bates Motel and...
Who cares about Bates Motel?
I do. I like Bates Motel. I think it's pretty good. Just saying.
I think that's it. Do you guys have anything else for segment one? We have a couple voicemails. No. We're going to do that in segment two.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll take our first break.
Yes, OG, we will take that first break on Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 345. Say it with me now, OG.
All right.
Countdown to New York Comic Con.
Countdown to New York Comic Con. T-minus 3 weeks and counting.
There you go. Oh,
all right. There you go. I mostly got it.
You
sort
can
of right.
do it.
Yeah, maybe.
Ahoy, ahoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. The developers of the massively successful Halo series have moved forward to forge a brand new franchise with the highly anticipated game Destiny. And it's mediocre. With a slug line like Become Legend, you'd expect an epic adventure far beyond anything the developer has done before. But what they've turned out is a game that has almost zero story. And what story is there doesn't really matter. There's endlessly repetitive gameplay, which only gets more repetitive the longer you play. On no uncertain terms, this is an MMO where you'll be expected to grind and farm the same handful of planets over and over again. Although the actual gameplay of jumping and shooting is great, the analogy I've come up with is, it's like having a super cool, finely tuned car, but you have to drive on an extremely boring racetrack. And with all that being said, I'm still playing Destiny. No, this isn't the part where I turn around everything I just said for a dramatic effect. All of the Destiny shortcomings and mishandlings are true. I come back to Destiny because I bought it and I want something to play. I'm addicted to the RPG elements the same way I was once addicted to Simpsons Tapped Out, which is begrudgingly with a small window of satisfaction every once in a while. This is not the next Halo. This is the Old Republic Online as a first-person shooter. Rent it if you can, but otherwise, the 6 out of 10 reviews are completely correct. Don't play it. Something you should play is Super Smash Bros. For 3DS. If you live in Japan. But to hold you over until the October 3rd release date here in the US of America, there's a Smash Bros. 3DS demo. It requires a code to download, but if you Google hard enough, you'll find one. Super Smash Bros. 3DS is available October 3rd for the Nintendo 3DS. And finally, Microsoft has purchased Minecraft developer Mojang for $2.5 billion. This also comes with the news that Notch, the creator of Minecraft who started Mojang, is leaving the company upon Microsoft's acquisition. As I was quoted in the Kotaku article, Microsoft, we're buying Mojang. Notch, I'm leaving Mojang. Microsoft, what did we just buy? Which is all for the best. After making hundreds of millions of dollars off of Minecraft, game creator Notch just made $2.5 billion and walked away. It's the American dream. As for the future of Minecraft, Microsoft will continue to support mobile and PlayStation versions of the game, but I'm sure when Minecraft 2 and Minecraft 3 and the countless media tie-ins begin, Minecraft will be first on Xbox. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek
with
Stuff.
With coupon code.
No. Episode 345. Countdown to New York Comic Con, T-minus 3 weeks and counting.
You're so worried. You're so worried that you can't do something.
Well, I was so flubberific.
Lollipops. I'm sorry. I'm confused. What are we doing again?
Punisher shot Spider-Man.
He's going Ari.
Yeah. Punisher shot Spider-Man. That's where my brain...
Punisher shot Spider-Man?
In the Ultimate books, Punisher shot and killed Spider-Man. That's where my brain crossed. Gotcha. So my apologies for that.
Sure.
Speaking of New York Comic Con, come and check us out at booth 127.
Yeah, we're still there.
We are still there. If you go to the New York Comic Con website, although the floor map is not posted yet, the exhibitor list is. You can find us on the exhibitor list. Add us to your My Show
plan. Yes, do that.
And be sure to check us out. We'll have some awesome exclusives. I think this past week I teased the, I showed the Optimus Prime Snake Eyes print that we're going to have.
Yeah,
we have a second print badass coming that's a companion to that I'm pretty excited about, but I don't want to tease it until we get it.
What about that other print?
The Doc A print. The Dickie Page piece
Dickie
we
Page.
Talked about.
Dickie Page will be present.
Lots of things going on at New York Comic Con, so be sure to come and check us out. And of course, please continue to use that Amazon link. We'd love you if you do.
Can I just say this? Can I just say this since we're talking about this? That Dickie Page, Umi Toys.
Yeah.
That boy's unbelievable.
I know.
Boy's churning out on a daily basis.
He's a crazy person.
He's a machine.
Yep. Bark is the Groot piece is amazing. Yeah, he's crazy.
A machine.
I know.
Like every time I on the Facebook.
Yeah.
It's always, like something every new. Day, it's something new. I'm flabbergasted.
He's an impressive young lad.
He is. He's talented as all hell. God, I love that guy.
It's true.
Just saying. He's got a lot of pieces that I want that I don't have.
I know. It's like.
It's burning me.
Yeah. The Geek Walk, and then of the
course,
Jawa.
And then, of course, what? I got to get photos from the certain manager of a certain store that we know sends me photos of their exclusive.
Oh,
ha,
yeah.
Ha, 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 yeah. Ha, next to it.
Yeah.
Bastard.
Yeah, I know. Well, they were smart. They came up with it. We should have come up with it.
Yep. It's my fault.
It is your fault.
Myself.
I'm blaming you. We do have a couple of voicemails that we wanted to play and address tonight.
Yes.
So let's do the first one now.
Geek Stuff Crew, Scanner51 here from Twitter. Last week, Big Kev said that no one is buying DVDs anymore. That is just not true. I still buy DVDs, though I do buy more Blu-rays than DVDs now. And the only DVDs I seem to be buying these days are the DCU animated feature DVDs. I simply buy those in DVD form, not the combo form, not the Blu-ray form, but the DVD form, because it looks very uniform on the bookshelf I have them on. So it's just an OCD thing that I have to work out with myself. Great show, guys. See you later.
So there you go.
He stands corrected. There is one person that buys DVDs.
Actually, it's funny. The more I thought about this after listening to his voicemail, I actually buy a lot of DVDs too because I find a lot of it's really just the market that you're hitting. But I find a lot of children's programming not available on Blu-ray. Like when they release stuff,
they don't make it in HD.
They only no, that's not true. Some of it they do, but when they release it, they only release it on DVD.
Maybe they're like waiting rooms and centers like that don't have Blu-ray players, so they're just like
no
going with DVDs.
Yeah, maybe I don't know, but
I should be clear. I was making a broader statement than just DVD.
Of course,
the format of the optical disc is going away. I mean, who would deny that at this point? Go into a Target. It used to be what, 8 aisles of DVDs and CDs, and what's it now? I was just in a Target today. It was 4 aisles. That was combined CDs and DVDs. 4 aisles. That's it.
Okay.
I mean, you can say it's not happening, and I still buy DVDs. I still buy Blu-rays. I mean, sure. I bought Captain America. I mean, it's not that I don't do it. It's not that I'm not a part of it. What I'm saying is that we are all just slowly sailing towards the sunset as far as this medium goes. All
right.
You know, I bought cassettes, you know, right up until the end also.
Right, right.
And laser discs.
Well, that was just silly.
Anyone remember HD DVD?
I do. They lost.
Yeah. 3 minutes of it.
Real bad. I know someone who actually bought the add-on for the Xbox 360 that had HD DVD because they refused to do Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Because Sony was one of the part owners of it.
Right.
They have a lot of cheap HD DVDs in their house.
I'm sure they do. They were blowing those things out for pennies on the dollar.
They probably got some great beta tapes in their basement as well.
And of course, on a side note, Scanner51, we're very sorry that you can no longer listen to the show in your office.
Feel bad.
Your boss sounds like a douche.
Why can't he listen?
Because apparently he can't listen to things on his phone anymore, which is how he was listening to our show, because it's a distraction. So.
What? Scanner 51, you send us the boss's name and a contact number, and I personally will contact your boss and ask him what his fucking problem is. I'm sure I'll be able to clear it right up with
questions.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's going to go really well.
Yeah.
I don't see why I wouldn't clear up right from the beginning. Yeah. If he sees my intensity and my,
you know what else will
my
clear
purpose.
Up? Scanner 51's cube. We cleaned up real nice. Perhaps when someone is sitting there.
I think that's just, I think you're reaching there, is what I think.
Let's get into the second voicemail.
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Kev, OG, and Scapegoat. This is Matt calling. Just a quick question for you guys. I am a huge Star Wars fan, and at the age of 31 right now, I got to only pretty much see the new episodes 1 through 3 when they were released in theaters. I saw episode 1. I know, you know, while people will bash it 12 times in theaters. My question for you guys is, as excited as I am for the new movie coming out, I am telling myself now that I'm going to stay away from every picture, any news tidbit, any teaser trailer, any trailer, anything that comes out for this movie, since my excitement is so high, I'm staying away from it. I know you guys have a little different to do, are a little different with the podcast stuff, but I'm just wondering what your guys' plans are for immersion before the next Star Wars release. Hope everyone has a great day. Talk to you guys.
So there you go.
Oh.
All right, so my thoughts on this, and you guys can chime in. I'm going to do something similar to what I did with Guardians, where I will watch and read official announcements and trailers up to a certain point in time, and then I will cut myself off. I've stopped reading the daily rumors. Like, guys have daily Star Wars rumors, and it's this guy, we think this guy on set is doing this, and Adam Driver's in an X-Wing suit, and all this other nonsense, all that shit. I'm not going to read unless it's shoved down my throat.
Adam Driver's in an X-Wing suit?
Yeah, so that rumor. So he's probably not a villain.
You know who he is.
But anyway, so...
We all know who he is.
So that stuff I will avoid.
Stupid.
But I will watch official trailers when they come out.
Jason Solo.
I will at least watch the first official trailer. And then if it's awesome, I'll go dark.
Okay.
Now, I will watch everything that they release. I just don't give a crap. It's not going to ruin the experience for me. Because let's be honest, no Star Wars trailer has ever given away the movie. And I don't think they're going to start now. I mean, J.J. Abrams is
historically secretive.
Oh, my God. Really? We still didn't know who Benedict Cumberbatch was.
To the point of lying.
Yeah. I'm at the end of the movie going, who the fuck is Benedict Cumberbatch supposed to be here?
Yeah, I hear
I'm sensing sarcasm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, because we all know I knew who he was, and it was dumb and stupid.
So there you go. So I will go dark at some point, but I will not go completely dark from this point
forward. It's such a long time away.
Yeah.
It's over a year still.
I will, however, read interesting tidbits. So, for example, today I read an interview an article involving Anthony Daniels reprising his role as C-3PO. Did you read this or did you guys see this?
Nope.
One of the things that he insisted on was that he does not provide just voice work.
Yeah, that he wanted to be in the suit. Yeah.
He did request modifications to the suit. That made it much easier to get in and out of.
Right.
And for his time on set. But he did not want to do just voice work. He actually wanted to be C-3PO for the role. And you know what? To me, that's another just great sign of where the movie is going.
Because
life in that. You know, right. There's realism in that portrayal that I think will come through nicely.
I heard he wanted a catheter.
I did not hear that.
I think he's making it up.
I think so too.
That's what I heard.
Yeah.
I read that right on Latino Review.
Catheter and lightsaber marshmallow Cheerios.
There you go. Soon.
So there you go. Charms.
You know, the catheter was a real thing. I'm just saying that, like, that would make sense.
So, Scapegoat, I have a question for you.
Sure.
When you say you're going to go dark, are you going to go dark after the teaser or after the trailer?
Oh, good question.
That's a good question. I'd probably wait till the
fourth. Oh, wait, no, hold on a second. That's the D&D music.
What the fuck was the point
must
of this?
Must be time really? For our D&D update.
That's how I do.
Are you trying to make this a thing?
Well, yes.
It's just going to be a thing.
We're bringing a thing back, and I'm transferring it to you.
But
I think it's already a thing.
Is there theme music yet?
I've passed the
thing. If there's no theme music,
theme
it's not a thing.
Music's happening right now.
Yeah.
Listen, turn your earphones up.
It's Stephen Lynch. What a swell young man.
This is the D&D update of the week. This week we're going to be discussing the 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook, which I hold in my hand.
Yeah, I get it.
And it is a beautiful
book.
Beautiful book. Yes, beautiful book.
That book you hold in your hand is a handbook that you're holding?
It's
see what you
cheap.
Did there.
Yeah. Not cheap.
I've noticed that as a trend.
Guessing?
I'm going to say $29.99.
I'm going to say $49.95.
And you would be correct.
$50
for the player's handbook.
Okay, now listen.
But the other one is for free online.
Okay, but listen.
Just saying.
I love... Is this Wizards of the Coast? Who's putting this out?
Wizards of the Coast.
I love Wizards of the Coast.
Uh-huh.
But...
I do.
Uh-huh.
I want to give them a big hug.
I'm going to explain to you why this book is worth...
I'm sorry.
...what they're charging. I know.
Unless that book also makes me lunch...
Okay.
And orders me pizza and feeds it to me.
Just give me a chance.
Playing.
Give me a chance.
Okay.
Give me a chance if you roll to the 20-sided die.
All right. Give me a chance to explain to you why it's worth the money they're charging for it.
Okay.
320 pages.
Okay.
Right? Each page, quality paper.
All right.
Let's talk about it. But the entire book is full color, sir.
Okay.
Full color, full of art, beautiful artwork. Not overly confusing.
Okay.
Nice binding. It's got some two-tone action happening on it.
I'm not saying it's an awesome book. I just think $49.99 is on the high end.
$49.95.
I think it's on the high end.
I still think it's worth it. And let me tell you some more things why I think it's worth it. I've read about half of this book so far.
Sure.
Right? It is probably the best D&D player's guide I've ever read.
Not saying a lot.
Now, that's saying a
lot. Because the AD&D player's guide.
I've read them all.
The AD&D one was,
I read them
was
all.
Pretty awesome.
I own them all. I've read them all. This is the best one I've ever read. This is bringing Dungeons & Dragons back to what it used to be when you and I were, well, when I was a bit younger and you were much younger.
I recall.
And... it's all about the simplicity. I mean, look at this. Let's just flip through, OG. Look, not laden with graphs and numbers and charts and not overburdened with rules and so on and so forth.
But where are the charts then?
There are some charts.
The charts are important.
There are some charts. Okay. Look at this.
I see.
It's a little chart. It's not so big, but it's a lot of flavor.
I feel you.
A lot of flavor text.
Let's talk about what is knocking it.
I know. I'm just saying. I think it's worth it. The whole introduction section tells you all about D&D.
Okay.
Now, if you were smart, you got the box set, or as Scapegoat mentioned, the PDF of the version of that part of the book. That part of the box set is available to you. This book includes step-by-step character creation. They discuss race. Now, here are the races, OG, that they're starting with.
Okay.
Dwarf, elf, halfling is back. Human, dragonborn made the cut.
I like dragonborn.
Gnome, also back. Half-elf, half-orc, and tiefling. Tieflings made it in
what
here.
What the hell is a tiefling? I don't remember
that. The one that looks
that.
Like half a demon.
I honestly don't remember that race.
You don't remember the tieflings? No. We discussed them a lot when we talked about Eberron, because they might have been introduced to Eberron. And then the classes. Barbarian.
Nice.
Bard. Mm-hmm. Cleric, druid,
is this what it's
fighter.
Like when you talk about when we talk about Doctor Who?
Yeah. This is exactly what I go through. So sit there and shut up.
We should talk about Doctor Who.
Yeah.
Fighter, monk, paladin, ranger, rogue, sorcerer, warlock, wizard. What?
Magic user
not there?
No, I haven't liked for a while. And this isn't a knock on the book.
What the fuck is the difference between a warlock and a wizard?
They explain that to you in here.
I have not liked for a while the difference between a sorcerer and a wizard. I have not like one of them, and I forget which is which.
Hold on, maybe I can answer this.
One of them is an innate ability to use magic.
Okay.
And one of them is a learned ability.
One is a muggle, and one is pure blood.
So one you're born with powers,
right,
so to speak, and one you learn.
Okay. What the fuck is the difference?
It seems like sorcerer.
Who gives a shit?
Because the ones the ones that are born with it have access to different types of spells earlier, less training time. Those who have to learn it, there are different incantations. If you get into the minutiae of how to play those characters,
why would that matter? Playing those characters, like I get it in a book and in like
I want to explain.
Okay, all right.
Okay.
Well, you want to?
Well, I think the sorcerer is the one that is. It just has it. So imagine. I want to put this in a comic book.
Okay, but what is a warlock?
Okay, give me 1 second. Okay. I can tell you what a fucking
warlock might be
a
certain type of magic, dark magic.
Sorcerer is the kind of person that just has the power like from birth, right? But it manifests itself different ways throughout different points of his life. They can then study, focus, and so on and so forth. Think mutants. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Right. All right, so that's sorcerer. And then what were you going to say?
Sorcerer?
No, what I was going to say is, and then the wizard is learned. But what I was going to say is, so not everybody plays those characters the way they're supposed to play. I've played a lot of D&D in my day.
Okay.
And a lot of magic users gloss over the spellcasting component of how to play that character. A lot of times it's, I want to cast magic missile, roll the die, did you hit, damage, etc. But if you actually play the minutiae and the rules,
yes,
you have to like sit down and like once a day you're supposed to meditate for half an hour and you could depending. Select a certain number of spells
sure.
per day and
right.
So the difference is the sorcerer doesn't have to do all of that because it's
innate.
It's innate.
Okay.
The wizard has to do those things because.
Well, hold on.
It's learning.
No, he wanted an explanation of a warlock.
Are there like differences? Do those different societies hate each other? Like, is there backstories to?
As
no,
much
it's
as
like different religions.
Yeah.
Exactly why I'm asking you this.
Yes. Yes.
It's
so,
like
so
is there? Yeah.
But it's not set in stone. Like a warrior and a sorcerer could go out drinking and have a good time. They don't inherently hate each other. It's not the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Although I can
see... Yeah, but
see...
a warrior and a sorcerer are not the same. A sorcerer and a
wizard. I'm sorry. A sorcerer and a wizard
are
not the Hatfields and the McCoys.
Got it.
They could hate each other.
Got it. Okay.
But they don't just because one is the other.
Well, let's talk about the warlock for a second.
Sure.
So the warlock, the way I'm summarizing what's... The warlock seems to be somebody who is studying the way that magic works in the multiverse. What they call the multiverse now in D&D. And basically their power is... drawing on ancient knowledge of beings such as nobles, demons, devils, hags, and so on and so forth.
So the warlock is the old conjurer.
Kinda. A warlock is defined by a pact with an otherworldly being. Sometimes the relationship between the warlock and the patron is like that of a cleric and a deity.
Okay. It's the old conjurer.
Kinda.
When you were a conjurer and like you would pick a djinn as your thing.
So what's the name of that guy in the DC universe? He's in the animated Justice League a lot. But
Dr. Fate?
No.
Oh, Spectre?
No, he turns into a demon.
Oh, Etrigan, the demon. Yeah.
Would he be warlock-esque?
More likely.
Because
a warlock,
the other side of his personality is really his power.
But that's a really good example.
But yeah. I think that this warlock is more like the warlock in WoW, whereas you have a companion, as opposed to it takes over you.
No. Like a deity. So, in other words, I think the warlock prays to whatever deity that or whatever
right.
sort of creature that he's trying to bind with.
Right.
And that symbiosis is what gives the warlock his power.
So there you
because
go.
They list here in the warlock otherworldly patrons, pact magic.
Because druids are also magic users. And so are
correct.
Bards.
But different.
Oh my God. Okay. All right.
Druids are nature-based magic.
You'll understand.
No, I get it. I know what a druid is based on real life world druids. And other universes where they use the same term. I just feel like I'm okay with minutia if there's back. I know there are a lot of novels and a lot of stuff happens.
Yeah.
Don't need any of that.
I know. But there is backstory. I don't know if it's canon or not canon, actually. I don't know if.
Canon constantly changes when the editions change. But
gotcha. So I don't know if any of that stuff is canon or just backstory or just good stories or both or whatever. But I mean, so are there differences between them? Is there a reason? Are their histories different? Why would there be 15 different kinds of magic users?
For the same reason. All right. So think of magic user as a generic term, like athlete is a generic term.
But not right? all athletes play baseball.
Right.
No, I understand that's what you're about to say.
But that's it though. In a nutshell.
Yeah. But
so
if I weren't playing, but if I'm playing a game that isn't baseball, I'm playing a game that is sports.
Right.
Why do I need 16 different kinds of athletes if they all have muscles?
Because
do you see what I'm saying? So that's not a perfect analogy.
Specialties
I'm aware.
Is really what it is. Hold on. It really comes down to.
I'm saying, do they have different motivations?
You have.
They could.
Do you have a different idea about D&D than you should? And it's not a question of why are there all those, but why should you choose to play the one that you decide to play?
I'm just saying, when I'm making that decision, do right. I have access to the history and ideas of this culture?
Yes,
or is it just
and
like
let me tell you where
wanna...
you can get normally that. Right here in the player's handbook.
Normally the handbook gives you a
Boom!
Pretty good idea of each player class.
The wizard, just so we're rounding out the three we've discussed, the wizard is more like the studying and writing yeah. spells and coming up with conjuring, not
so
conjuring.
Wizards, so wizards like, are from Harry Potter.
Yes.
Kinda.
Warlocks are like Etrigan and people who make pacts with demons. Yeah.
Correct.
Shit. Like Raven has uh-huh. to go into
and
the
good,
magical.
You've got it. And okay. give us the last one.
And,
sorcerer.
The sorcerer.
Just born with it.
Sorcerer just.
So you
I'm
might
to think
you
of
might
a sorcerer.
Imagine
I don't I can't think of
the
a
sorcerer just born with.
No no I get it
name.
I get it.
It's
Doctor
just,
Strange.
It's like a Lady
no.
Gaga song.
No, not quite.
No.
So you can imagine
Doctor Strange's not a.
So
no,
I can imagine
Doctor Fate.
I can imagine some tension between say a wizard and a sorcerer because here's a wizard who's studying his entire life to be able to do this sort of. Magic that this punk kid who doesn't even give a crap right. can
See,
do.
It's funny you saw it that way. I saw it the other way. The sorcerer is like, we are born with this innate ability. Why the fuck are you trying to study to be anything yeah. like me? You don't
that's,
have the right
that's
to
That's a great
my,
angle.
You do
right.
not,
you play,
you do
if
not,
you play a sorcerer,
you do not,
you're halfway to the character.
You do not have the right to be using magic. Right.
So,
if you
but
have
wow.
to study
but the important
thing. You remember that.
But that was good because the important thing there, though, is that is a very viable. Backstory for your character. However, that is not the steadfast rule for that class.
I get it.
That time can't be right.
I don't know why that is the way it is.
Did
but
you start it a little further out than before?
Maybe.
Wow. I mean, I know we've been on
either
it.
Either that or we've been talking for too long.
Also, in this book, chapter 4, personality and background, how to create those things for your character. And as you just heard, scapegoat well on his way there to a go. Sorcerer, it would seem to me. Equipment in
is
chapter
a saucer
five.
Like the same as being Ori? I'm just curious.
Chapter 6.
Do all cats like saucers?
Stop.
Okay.
Customization options. And then using ability scores, adventuring, combat. It's basically the broad overview. I want to read for you OG, who I know will appreciate this more than you will, Scapegoat, I regret to say. But I just want to read this because I think this will put OG at rest about a couple of things that we've been concerned about.
Okay.
Okay. You ready, OG? What?
I don't know. Just
put my face in the mic. Is that what you're saying? Yeah, I know. I'm speaking loudly because I'm a little further away. Okay. Here you go, OG.
Yes.
Many of. Hold on. I have back one line.
Editing.
Here we go.
Take two.
Within the multiverse are an endless variety of worlds. Many of them have been published as official settings for the D&D game. The Legends of the Forgotten Realms, Dragonlance, Greyhawk, Dark Sun, Mysteria, and Eberron are settings woven together in the fabric of the multiverse. Alongside these worlds are hundreds of thousands more created by generations of D&D players and their own games. And amid all the richness of the multiverse, you might create a world of your own. All these worlds share characteristics, but each world is set apart by its own history, culture, distinctive monsters, races, fantastic geography, ancient dungeons, and scheming villains. Some races have unusual traits in the different worlds. Halflings in the Dark Sun, for example, are jungle-dwelling cannibals, and elves are desert nomads. So, all of the worlds, including Eberron, which we love, are alive and well.
Okay.
And they say, you know, whatever you got, make it work with this. And what they're saying is that you don't need to have a super laid out guidebook to get this done. With the new D&D, the DM and you, the player, you can make anything work. And that's what I really love about the brand new fifth edition of Dungeons and Dragons.
I'm a little concerned of how the, I'm a little concerned with how the rules will line up, but I'm down.
I'm telling you, I've been looking and it feels so familiar and comfortable that I can't wait to play. I'm so excited about playing. So anyway, let's wrap this up by saying you should definitely, I hope I turned you around a little bit here, OG. I think I did. You should definitely be checking out the brand new D&D Player's Handbook, 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons Player's Handbook. Yes, it's going to run you $49.95, but you know what? It's an investment. You'd pay more for a video game, but you'll get way more out of this book.
All right.
That's what I'm thinking. To create your characters and help you get on the road to the brand new 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons from Wizards of the Coast. We are so excited to be able to be talking about 5th edition D&D. And that is the D&D update for the week.
It's D&D! Warriors that terrify. It's D&D!
I don't know. I'm not convinced on the rules.
But I
want to see it work.
I'm telling you.
Okay.
You're going to love it. I'm telling you. I just know it. I've known you for what? 3-4 hours?
At least.
And I'm telling you, and I've played D&D with you many goddamn times. Hour. So I'm telling you, this is the one we've been waiting for.
All right.
We loved the amount of information we got. I think I love the amount of information and the amount of story material we got with the fourth edition. The fifth edition is the rules that we've been waiting for.
Well, the thing that I've been waiting for all episode is the wrap-up music, because clearly I'm having a hard time talking tonight.
Alrighty then.
And I've been hearing it for the past few seconds.
Just going Ari.
So, listen.
You should rename the episode Going Ari.
So don't forget, you can check us out online each and every week over at BigKevsGeekStuff.com. We're almost... all of the episodes are now on the server. There's like 50 that are missing.
I heard we got really close.
There's 50 that are missing that I think we should be able to correct soon. Of course, check us out on Twitter at GeekStuffOG.
Scapegoat GS.
BK GeekStuff.
Don't forget. He got it this time.
He did get it this time. You can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/BK GeekStuff. Of course, you can also go to, Amazon.BigKevsGeekStuff.com. And check out our Amazon link.
Oh, yeah. That's...
if you're going to New York Comic Con, booth 127, please add us to your My Show planner. That is 3 weeks away. 3 weeks.
I've been checking out More Like Radio.
Yeah?
I think I found us a show to fight with.
I don't want to fight with you.
Why?
I did find a new podcast that I've been listening to, but I we'll talk about them next week maybe.
Okay.
But I think that's it, unless you guys have anything else you want to wrap up with.
Well, you know, if you think of something, you can go ahead and call us at 425-920-6050. At the GVM line and hear yourself on a future episode. A big Kev's Geek Stuff.
And thank you to the two callers that called in tonight. We appreciate it. Although you were under the gun last minute callers, we appreciate it nonetheless.
No, that's fine. I mean,
they both put out on Twitter, like, do I have time to leave a voicemail? I was like, you now. Call now.
Now, literally now.
Yeah, stop tweeting, start calling. But.
Wow, that'd be a great campaign for, like, you know, net neutrality.
There you go, yeah.
If that actually did anything.
Yeah, stop tweeting, start calling. Yeah. The cutoff for future episodes.
You may have to if net neutrality passes.
5 p.m. Wednesdays.
The week of New York Comic Con, there will not be an episode.
There will not, no, because we will probably be in New York that night.
Oh, we will?
Well, I assume we're going to go in early to set up and, in theory, make sure things work like we did last year.
Oh, did we do that?
Remember last year we went and then our mixer didn't work. The mics. We had problems with the mics.
Why haven't we heard about a Hasbro party?
Don't know yet. So
we'll go right, Joe.
Yeah, we'll have to find out about that as well. But that's neither here nor there.
Yes.
Doesn't Hasbro own Wizards of the Coast?
They do. Sort of. Yes.
Do they?
I believe
yeah,
they do.
I think they're subsidiaries.
Yes. Are they?
Yeah. With that, Big Kev.
Yes, OG. We will bring this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff to a close. Episode 345, The Road to New York Comic Con, 3 weeks and counting. T-minus. I mixed it up there a little. We'll bring this episode to a close. Shut up. We will bring this episode to a close the way we end all episodes, by saying good night, Richard Kiel, wherever you are.
And on that note, We cue the music.